Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name is the name of Jesus. If you can take the time, you should do a study on the name of Jesus. The power in that name is outrageous, huge, bigger than you could ever imagine. There is so much power in that name that if you understood it like you should, you would have no fear in your life at all. And you would completely be victorious in your walk with God. Now, we're all walking towards that. Amen. Some of us have more fear in one area than we do in another. But I seriously suggest buy a book about the name of Jesus. Buy a book by Brother Hagin, Billy Brim, somebody like that we trust. And check it out and put your Bible next to that book and check those scriptures in that book. Don't trust these authors, even the ones we do trust. Put your Bible with that book when you're reading and check those scriptures so that your heart can see that that scripture is in your Bible. Because that, let's face it, that's what you trust. You have a little bit of a standoffishness with no matter who the author is almost. But you trust your God and you know this book is real. Amen. Most of you do. If you don't, you will soon. You just keep coming here. We're going to show you there is so much power in the Word of God that it'll change your life forever. It'll change the way you think. It'll change your body. And we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to look at the subject of hear and be healed. Because before you get healed, you should hear something about healing. You should know something about healing. You've got to receive some understanding, some wisdom, and some knowledge on the subject of healing. Amen. Let's pray before I get rolling. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you that you help us, Lord. Come alongside us and help us to honor your word, to value your word, to know and understand that anytime anyone is speaking your word, that we should be hungry for it. We should be ready to receive it. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that understands. Help me tonight, Father God, to go where you want me to go, say what you want me to say. Say it the way you would have me to say it and in the timing you would have me to say it. I trust you, my God. We trust you that we will get what we're supposed to get tonight. And we just praise your holy name, the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let there be light. Glory to God. I hope you brought your Bible with you. You know, I just mentioned about valuing the Word of God, understanding it, trusting it. And if you don't even bring your Bible to church, no condemnation. If you didn't bring it tonight, it's okay. Pastor Peggy's out of town. You didn't know what was happening. But just let me say this. Don't come to your church without your Bible. If you're good at following on your phone, so be it. That's fine. And always remember that, especially on Sundays, we've got the Bible app that you can follow Pastor Peggy with. I'll tell you what, I love that. And every week I take it and I like send it to my email. I have her whole sermon. I can send it to my email. And I do that first thing, and then I just start following her. I could never tell you how blessed I am to serve here. Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott are amazing. I went to Bible school. I have some friends that are ministers, and the stories that people tell me about the churches they serve in and other churches that people go to are just flat out scary sometimes. And, you know, it just made me realize we're spoiled. You know, you just think, well, they're supposed to be that awesome. They're that awesome because they love this word. They respect and love God. And He made them awesome. You know? And that's you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And let me get going here. Exodus. Turn with me. Or swipe with me to Exodus 15, 26. And He said, if you will give earnest heed. And we were just talking about this. Listening, paying attention, valuing the word. Amen. If you will give earnest heed. Heed means to listen, pay attention, be ready, stick your neck out looking for what's next. Amen. To the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear, listen, to His commandments, and keep all His statutes. I will put none of these diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. That's who He is. That name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth thee. That's His name. That's one of His names. And we don't pay attention to this enough. We just accept things. We get a little cold. You know, we don't even have to put up with the little stuff. Amen? I did a couple of big jobs recently, and I still work physically pretty hard. And I had to mix concrete for weeks with a big half-inch drill with a paddle and a bucket. And the guy I work with is like a master tile setter and every, you know, really good, but he likes things like he likes things. And he wants that mud stiff. So it takes my whole body to mix that mud and I started getting a real weird sensation in my elbow because I literally was mixing cement with this drill, and thank God for the drill, because I used to do it by hand with a shovel in a wheelbarrow. And I was not this heavy back then, believe me. I was a much thinner dude, and I could do it all day long. But thank God for power tools. Allows me to keep this. You know, this is very important. It's my spare tire. I need it for balance, you know. But long story short, something started going awry in my arm, and it started to hurt pretty bad. I started figuring out how to massage it and stuff. And I even went to get a massage, and they showed me, you know, that I could do it myself because it's my arm, you know. If it's your back, you're out of luck. I'm single, not dating right now, and a pastor, so it ain't happening. Even if I date, it ain't happening because we can't go there, right? Thank you. Amen. So anyways, I put up with this thing for I don't know how long. And I mean, I've been serving God almost my whole life. And you just wonder why you do things like this. But one day I thought, wow, I could pray and get healed. I've been healed of all kinds of stuff, man. But you get busy and you start going through life like a horse with blinders on, and you just like put your head down and go like a running back running through the line. And we've got to remind ourselves of these things, of the healing power of God, the name of Jesus. This is ours. This is a promise. Things have been said about healing that are lies. I don't know how else to say it. I can't say it nicely. Most of you have been lied to. And, you know, and I'll just tell you in a very simple manner, it is God's will for you to be healed. He wants you healed. He wants nothing more than for you to be healed. God doesn't sit up in heaven and go, yeah, you deserve that. You had a bad week last week. You didn't even talk to me last week, or you were mean to this person, that person. Now, granted, you can hinder your prayers and your believing by treating people bad and being nasty and thinking that it's okay. It's not okay. It'll shipwreck your faith, because then you'll pray for stuff and not get it, because you're doing things in your life that you just have declared to be okay, when your pastor, if you come here, has told you at some point that it's not okay. And you know what I'm talking about, because it's different for everyone in here. I've got like 30 things running through my head just for me, of things that I should have stopped doing 30 years ago. Attitudes. Little things. But anyways, I want to look at this scripture closer again. It's Exodus 15:26. And he said, if, that's a key word, if, and I started to talk about the lies that people tell. There are ministers that you can turn your radio on and hear a minister tell you that God doesn't heal anymore. That was in the days of the apostles. Crazy stuff. And that's why we beat it like a drum around here about your Bible and the Word of God, and you putting it on the inside of you. You don't have an excuse. I had dyslexia when I was young, and I had issues with reading. And they weren't bad, and it was a mild case. But I was embarrassed to even read in front of people when I was in high school. And so I started listening to the Bible on tape, and I just went around the thing. And I still do, you know, I love all this cell phone stuff, because I can just listen to everything on my cell phone. And I don't read that much, still to this day. But who cares? Technology met me, you know? And I can listen to what I want to listen to. I still force myself to read my Bible. But I basically don't read anything else. And if you want me to, give me the audio. Because I drive a lot and I listen to it in my car. But I just want you to understand, if someone told you God won't heal you or doesn't heal today, they lied. He is the healer. He named himself the God that healeth thee. Amen. We don't often talk about just healing in a service, because Pastor Peggy is extremely good at putting everything into a sermon, like all the ABCs and stuff, and she slips it all in there. Because she's been doing it so long, and she's one of the best I've ever seen at teaching. And she's led by the Holy Spirit, and she can preach you a sermon on some certain subject and still put healing and an understanding of righteousness and just all kinds of stuff in there with it while she's preaching. But sometimes we've just got to go hardcore and talk about one thing and look at it. Because, I mean, we all know somebody who's dealing with a horrible illness. Even the small stuff I talked about. Oh, by the way, I prayed and my arm was healed. The pain, I don't know how many days the pain kept on. But I prayed and I forgot about it. Guess why I forgot about it? Because it didn't hurt anymore. Amen. Now, I'll tell you another testimony later on as I get going here of a miraculous healing that happened to me. And it was the same way with that. I forgot about it because the pain went away. And I didn't even realize it was gone, and I was just operating normal again. God does this. Every day He does this. And you know what? I want you to keep in mind that the number one way God heals is for you to find out what the Word says about it, and for you to pray for you to speak to your body, and you receive healing for you. We like to come to church. Pastor Scott, Pastor Peggy, all of us, we're very anointed. The power of God is in our hands. But the Bible says it's in yours too. Believers will lay hands on the sick. It didn't say pastors. It didn't say you had to have a ordination or licensing. You know? It said believers will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? So, we're going to look closely at that. One of the other things that concerns me is people talk about the sovereignty of God. And when they talk about it, they kind of talk about it from a place of not even understanding what sovereignty is. Let's think about this for a minute. If God was completely sovereign, then, you know, no more babies would die. No more bad stuff would happen. Let's face it. If you understand what sovereignty is, if He's in total control, and in a manner He is sovereign, and He is in control, but He chose to give you a choice. Amen? He said in one scripture, I put before you life and death. And then He gave you the answer to the test. Choose life. It's really, I love that, because school was rough on me. So give me the answers. You know, I fell in love with God real early when I found out He was like that. He just gives you the answer. But listening to my Bible on tape in my truck, driving for hours and hours, thank God I had a repair job where I drove all day long in between doing repairs. And I just listened to the Bible over and over and over again until I would be listening to a minister on the radio, and these guys would say something, and I was just baffled. I was like, that's not in the Bible. Dude, you're lying. I'm like talking to my radio. Dude, you're lying. This guy just lied to me. He's like 60 years old. He calls himself a minister. I even recognize his name. He's famous. And he just lied to me about the Bible. It caused me to understand that if I don't get this in me, for me, I'm setting myself up for the king of liars, Amen. Satan. He will find a million ways to lie to you. He'll bring a million different types of people, types of situations. Even a circumstance can lie to you. Something can happen and you just decide that it was it happened for a reason, but your reasoning is wrong. Amen? And I'll just go ahead and tell you my testimony of another time. I haven't had very many things wrong with me, thank God, but I was at Rhema. I used to be an athlete, used to lift weights, and so I didn't have much go wrong with me too often. Because, you know, if you do things right when you're lifting weights, you don't get hurt much. And your body stays strong. But one day I was, you know, into my 30s at Bible school, probably exercising a little less as I'm getting older. And I bent over to pick up a crayon. A crayon. I'm with the fourth graders at Rhema. And I bent over to pick up a crayon and something goes ping. Just, you know, you can almost hear it. It was so, it was violent. I prayed and believed God and it went away. And then the next morning, I think, we had the playoffs for intramural football, flag football, at the school. We won our first game, went to the next game. We ended up playing flag football for 8 solid hours in the playoffs because we were doing well. I'd like to say I had a lot to do with that, but we won't go into it. There were issues there. I was not given a chance, and I'm still in unforgiveness. Are you praying for me? They didn't understand how good I was, all right? But, you know, it started hurting about 6 hours into flag football. And then I did what I just mentioned to you a minute ago. A circumstance made me think something wrong. I decided, oh my gosh, after hurting my back, I should have never played today. That was so stupid that I deserve for this to have happened to me. And I just accepted it. And it got so bad after I said that to myself. I didn't even say it out loud. I just thought that. And it just became severe. Like when I was resting, when I was walking, it never went away. It was harsh. Down in the bottom of my back, over to one side. Long story short, Sunday morning, Pastor Hagin's on stage. He's preaching a sermon. I'm sitting there in huge pain, still thinking, oh, well, you know, it'll eventually go away. But, you know, I was so stupid, I guess I can't pray about it. And then if you think about that, it's pretty stupid. I had to repent for stupidity, but we've all been there. And all of a sudden, he's up there, and he's like a funny guy. He fixes his lapel a lot, and he kicks his toes out when he walks. And something told me something was about to happen, and my eyes locked on him, and he's up there fixing his jacket, and super confident man. And all of a sudden, he goes like this. He stops preaching and puts his hand on his back, right where my back's hurting. I mean, right, and my eyes were burning a hole in that man's suit by then. I knew something was about to happen, and it was hard for me to believe because there were like 3,500 people in this church. He begins to give a word of knowledge, which means he's telling you what happened in the past. A word of wisdom in the Word of God is when someone tells you about the future. But a word of knowledge is when they're telling you about something that happened to you. He begins to read my mail, everything that had happened to me for the past week, everything I said to myself, and he says out loud, and you said to yourself, I guess I deserve this. And he looked out at the crowd. He's still got his hand on his back where my back's hurting. And he goes, you're wrong. Get down here. Well, before he could say get down there, I was already knees high with my back hurting, running for the front because I could see my miracle. I knew it was coming. Now, I trust this ministry very much, so I didn't have very many doubts. I went down there, long story short. It was kind of funny. He's a very large man. He reached around behind me, and he went like this, and he hit me in the back with both of his hands. And he hit me so hard, I think I kicked him in his shins when I went down because he hit me like that, and I think my feet went like that into his shins. But there were ushers there, so maybe, I don't know. I was a little concerned. I couldn't even think about anything else. I thought, man, you just kicked the pastor that's healing you. I was the only guy that went down. There was 3,500 people in that building. And that word of knowledge was so precise that only one other dude came down there. And when he prayed for that guy, he like whispered to him and sent him away. He was like, dude, it's not you. You know, I don't know what he said to him, but but I'm guessing. I got up and I was so sure I was healed that I didn't care if it hurt when I got up, because I had been at that school long enough that they had taught me, we don't go by feelings. We don't go by what we think, what we taste, what we touch, what we hear. We don't go by anything except what we know the Word of God said. You go by what you hear if it was the Word of God. Amen. But I was done. It could have got worse and I would have been healed. I would have said I was healed. I would have declared I was healed. And maybe that's why I was healed. But that's what happened to me. And what I mentioned earlier is 30 minutes later, I realized I had no pain. And it had been gone and I didn't even realize it, because it just gradually left after he laid hands on me. But that, you know, I want you to understand something about that. That's a fun story. It's very exciting. It came about because I was stupid. We don't have to be stupid. God reaches out to us sometimes in a special way because you're ignorant or have been ignorant. You don't know what you need to know. The Bible says, my people die for lack of knowledge. Amen. Hosea 4:6 says, my people die because of what they do not know. Amen. So, it's better if you know what the Word says and you believe it and you've had some small victories. Maybe sometimes you have victories so small you don't even want to tell anyone about it because they'll think you're just trying to make it into something. But you know in your heart, God did it. It's between you and God. You keep those things in your heart. He will heal little things for you. And you'll be scared to tell somebody sometimes about those things because you'll tell it and somebody will go, oh, come on, that probably just happened. You know, your body has natural healing in it. You know, some people say, I don't believe in healing, but you can't be a normal, a person with intelligence and say you don't believe in healing. Because, you know, if someone said that to you, you should say to them, you know, well, if you cut your arm, what happens after you cut your arm? I mean, I don't think there's anybody in here. If you get a small cut, I mean, it just takes days, and it's healed. I mean, for me, most of the time, one day, day and a half, even a fairly severe cut will be closed up enough so I can stick my hand in water again and not worry about it. You have a certain amount of healing power that God just put in you. You know, and the smart guys and scientists, they'll tell you, well, that's because the red blood cells and the blippity-bloppity-blue, you know what I mean? Whatever. Who made you? Who gave you those blood cells? Who gave you the white blood cells that attack infection? Who gave you that? God made you to heal. Amen? Amen? And there's some of you in here, you stop and think about the medication that you're on. I hope none of you are on medication. I hope I'm wrong. But think if you didn't have to pay for that. Think if you didn't have to try to remember to take it. I can't even remember to take my supplements that I try to take. Vitamins and stuff. I mean, it just bothers me. High blood pressure medicine. Thyroid medicine. Statin drugs that somebody told you to take. That you can't get off of. Well, they tell you that. But just remember, when somebody says you can't do something, what's Jesus say? You can do anything. He made you. Amen. He could unscramble eggs. He could do whatever needs to be done. Amen. And He'll do it for you. And you must understand, that's why Pastor Peggy teaches you who you are in Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You may have sin in your life. Praise God. 1 John 1:9 is mine. He is faithful and just to forgive us. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now I'm ready to be healed. Almost every time I've ever had a miraculous healing in my life, before I would pray, I would walk around a circle for a minute and tell myself, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm forgiven. I just kind of check my heart. And then I get my healing. Amen. We can walk in divine health day in and day out. Let's go to Luke 4:38. Got my old school Bible up here. I don't got no pad or anything. All of you are looking at me like, dude, this dude is old school. I love my Bible. This Bible's 25 years old. Luke 4:38. And he arose and he left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. I'm starting a little early because I just wanted to look at this healing that he did before we get to the part that I want to get to. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they made request of him on her behalf, and standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately arose and waited on them. Now, isn't that interesting? He didn't pray. You know, praying's good. But when you know what you believe, you just speak and command. And I know this is, you know, one of the disciples, blah, blah, blah. No, this is what he wants us to do. He said, let there be light, let there be water, let there be an expanse in between the waters. He spoke the world into existence. He wants you to do things like He does things. Amen? Okay. He rebuked the fever. He spoke to the fever. Now, the world will make fun of you. Why are you talking to inanimate objects? Why are you talking to stuff? Why are you talking to your body? Would you rather be healed? Or have them think highly of you. I mean, you probably don't even respect them. Let's just face it. Whoever they are. You should praise God because of the love of God. But I'm just being honest. The fever, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately arose and waited on them. I find that fascinating. Because I know people that love to be pampered so much that if Jesus healed them, they would be like, well, now I can't lay here and get people to bring me stuff. I don't know whether I'm happy or not. But these women in these days, man, she jumped up and fixed dinner. You know? Without a thought. I just love that woman. I'm going to get one just like that. And while the sun was setting, you watch, I'm going to. I just said it. I said it with my faith. And while the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them. The connotation there is that he healed them all. If you go through here and look at all of Jesus, all the stuff he did, it says over and over again, he healed them all. And he healed them all. Amen. John 14:11. Remember that he healed them all. John 14:11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on the account of the works themselves. In other words, he's healing people and doing miracles left and right. And he's basically saying, you're a baby. If you can't handle believing on me, well, I mean, look what I've been doing. Believe just for that until you get there. Be quiet and listen. Amen. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Amen. That's verse 12. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Now, is that's wild. Jesus just said, and greater works will you do. The only thing stopping us is our limiting attitude, lit our thought process of, no, I'm not Jesus, I'm not Paul, I sinned yesterday, blah, blah, blah. But this is the reason why Pastor Peggy leads you toward this close relationship with the Lord. It takes dedication. You can reach this place of being so close to Him. There have been men that walked the earth. I'll just tell you a few names. Smith Wigglesworth, Oral Roberts, Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis. These men walk around saying what they want and seeing it manifest. You can judge them for flying in a jet plane and being rich all you want, but they're feeding more people than the Red Cross, and the news will never tell you that. They give away their money like it's water. And yes, they're very rich, but they're giving away a massive quantity of that wealth every week, all the time. Giving people stuff, cars, houses, airplanes. Feeding, you know, they give money to each other. If one of them does something that the other doesn't do, they give to that guy. Like, for instance, I can't remember the guy's name. James Robinson. He digs wells over in third world countries where they don't have clean water. And I happen to know that Creflo Dollar and a bunch of men of God, they all just pour their money into him so he can dig those wells and get those people that clean water. Millions. Joyce Myers does way more than the Red Cross, United Way, blah, blah, blah. And some of these places, some of these charities, they put about 11 cents of every dollar toward what they say they're doing. And their CEOs have six-figure incomes. Why would they need that? I'll leave that alone. We'll move on. Praise God. Luke 4:38. Did I ever read that? I did read that. John 5:19-20. We'll just assume I read it. I got to get moving. Jesus therefore answered and was saying to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something that he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, those things the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel." Amen? One of the things you've got to understand here is, let's go to Philippians 2. And let me show you this. Philippians 2, 6 and 7. "Who, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped." Talking about Jesus. "But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men." What do you think that means, he emptied himself? He put aside his deity on purpose because he was our substitute. His whole deal was to come show us how to do it. He came, he got in our filthy, stinking, sweaty, everything else bodies, and a body just like ours, and he put up with all this because he loves you, to show you how to do it. He did it without his deity. He literally was saying the whole time, "This is me in a body like you, this is how to do it. Do what I do." We can do what he did. And he said, and greater, and greater. The reason he said, and greater, because he was sending the Holy Spirit back to help us. And that he knew that just the way he made things, everything gets better. You know what I mean? He's such an awesome God. He didn't say, "Okay, I just did the best, and that's the end of that, and you'll never reach that." He wants you to have the best so much that he'll let you pass him up. And do you think you're worthy of that? In yourself, you're not. But because of Jesus, you are. Jesus died and made you righteous. He made you worthy of that. But only because Jesus declared you to be righteous. Because of what Jesus did, we can do these things in greater. So he laid aside his deity. Now let's look at Acts 10:38. I can't even find it on my notes. There it is. Acts 10:38. Wow, flipped there in one turn. I did that on purpose. It says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." It says God anointed him. If he was operating and flowing in his deity as God, Jesus is God. You realize Jesus is God. In this day and age, and especially in this neighborhood, people will come to you and tell you that there are many gods. No, Jesus is God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, like an egg. How many eggs is there when you put an egg right here? One egg, but there's a shell, a yolk, and a clear. Three parts, one egg. That's the only thing I've ever been able to figure out that'll show you what the deity of God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying that they're a shell, a yolk, and an egg. You know, they're not eggs. But I'm just using that as an illustration, right? So, Jesus is God. Amen. But he put aside his deity on purpose and came down here to show us how to do it. And we ought to be. I mean, I'm convicted just sitting here talking to you because I myself have not been looking in here like I should have. If what I'm saying is true, we should be taking every moment we have looking in here and searching. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do that I can do? But we let our lives come in and press on us. You know? It ain't easy having kids, is it? If you ain't had kids yet, 20 years from now, you'll hear my voice say that again. You know, but anyways, I loved every minute of it, and it was the best part of my life, raising my kids. I had fun. I was built for it. But it was not easy. It got rough. And I got a little beat up going through it, but not by my kids. But anyways, Proverbs 4:20. The word is life and health. Amen. I'm going to just start showing you some scriptures quickly. You don't even have to turn there yet until I tell you to. Psalms 103:1 talks about he gives you all his benefits. And the first two he names is forgiveness. And the second one he names is healing. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And forget not his benefits. He's got the best benefit package you ever saw, better than all the jobs you ever had or will have. And go look at Psalms 103, starting in the first verse, and check it out. Your benefit package is in here. And you can step into it and walk in it day in and day out. Amen. The second one, the first two is forgives. He forgives your iniquities. The second one, he heals your body. This word is full of healing. I know I'm still in the Old Testament, but Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And this is where I want to get to, because this message is basically called Hear and Be Healed. You must hear it. I mean, how do you believe things? How do you develop a belief? Somebody's got to tell you something about it. You've got to receive some kind of information, right? And then you decide whether or not to believe it. Amen? Well, it is absolutely ridiculous for you to allow somebody to tell you what God won't do and won't give you and won't this and don't that, and you don't know for yourself what the Word says. You need to, if you got to do what I did and listen to the Bible on MP3 or on your phone for months and weeks, do it. I mean, I listened to the Bible on cassette tapes. I was really young, though. Half of y'all don't know what a cassette tape is. It was a dramatized version of the Bible, so I would quote scriptures. Sometimes I'd almost say it like the dude on the tape. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. You know? Yeah. I'm not as old as him. Get it in you. Know the truth. Eliminate the ability of anybody to lie to you. Amen. Anymore. Know for yourself what the truth is. And be, you know, walk in boldness. Boldness comes from knowledge, the Bible says. Boldness comes from knowledge. If you know, nobody can lie to you about it. Now, for God's sakes, we've got to be humble. If you don't know, you've got to snap out of it and say, I don't know that yet. I'll find out. And go find out. Do not tell people you know something you don't know. That's pride. It's pride. It's horrible. I mean, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you, it doesn't help your life to try to get people to think you're higher than you are or whatever. That's just human nature. We are like that by nature. That's why we have this book. This book, the Word, was given to us to change us. We need to change. I pray every day, my God, please change me more and more. Help me. I have proven myself to be sorely lacking. I need help. But you know what's crazy? Because of the name of Jesus, because of the power of Jesus' name, He can raise you up right out of the stupidity that you have walked in the past and make you a respected person that speaks truth that people trust. I can't tell you how many jobs I've had that when everybody else was losing their jobs and stuff, I was still working because people would tell me, I just need somebody I can trust. My skill level wasn't very high. My skills are more toward this. I love people. And that's why I'm here. Because Jesus loves people, and I want to love people. Sometimes y'all don't think I love you because I get stern and I make faces and I correct people sometimes. I love you. I mean, you don't just let somebody drive off the bridge and they're flying down the road and you know the bridge is out. What are you going to do, wave at them? No, I'll throw a rock at the car if I have to. Stop! The bridge is out! Amen? But anyways, let's move on. Psalms 107:20 says, He sent His word and healed them. Now Luke 5:15, let's go there. But the news about Him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes, Luke 5:15, great multitudes were gathering to hear Him and to be healed of their sickness. Amen? Great multitudes were gathering to hear Him. Now, I saw something on Facebook today that was cool. A missionary friend of mine posted something. It was actually, I think it was Victoria Bowling. We have Mark and Victoria here to minister a lot. They minister in India. They operate in signs and wonders, hundreds of people getting healed, and miracles happening all the time, just like Jesus. And I used to sit with Mark at a restaurant that we worked at out in Tulsa when we were training for the ministry, and he would tell me how he was going to go do this stuff. And now he's out there on it, doing it day in and day out. And the guy loves it. And how could you not love it? He sees people get healed right under his hand. But one of the things he mentioned, or his wife was talking about, or actually she was quoting a minister, and they were saying, why do people get healed in third world countries? And it's because of what I said about the valuing the Word of God. These people, they walk 3 hours to come to the meeting. That's valuing the Word of God. Would you walk 3 hours? Would you walk to Miami to go hear somebody preach? That's a little tough to think about, isn't it? Because I wouldn't. It depending on who it was, but I don't need to. If I didn't have a car, I guess I would. But these people come, they're ready. They're ready to believe what they hear. They've walked 3 hours. They need help. Many, many, many of them need healing. They value that word, and there's an expectancy when they get there. And when an anointed man of God jumps on stage and starts praising God, and Mark Bowling has a smile bigger than his head, and you know, they don't see that a lot. Everybody they know is suffering. And they see this little white guy on stage with a smile, just his teeth are just gleaming. The love of God is coming off of him like radiation. They know it's real. They know when he puts his hand on them, they're going to get healed. And they get healed by the thousands. Miracles and signs and wonders happen all the time. People in this world would have you to believe that they don't. There are people being raised from the dead and you don't hear about it. The news doesn't want you to hear about it. There are reasons, and I won't get into all that. But it scares people, amen? So I'm gonna end up with this. I've got like 4 or 5 more scriptures. And all of them basically say, they came to hear and be healed. And you did that tonight. There's a reason. I just want to say one more thing to you. You may not need healing right now, but you know somebody who does. And you heard this message, and you have a responsibility, and you can be mad at me if you want, but you need to know this, get into it, understand it, have it in your life. First of all, as maintenance, preventative maintenance, the devil can't touch you. You declare, don't be scared to say it. It won't jinx you. Me and my kids don't get sick. We have no tragedy. We have no illness. We have no accidents. We go through life in victory. Now, things go wrong. But even when things go wrong, he gives us the victory after it went south. If you believe. Now, if you stop and think about it, many times things happen and we just go, and we just sit down and let it happen. Amen? But if we will gain this attitude, we will attack these things when they try to roll over our lives. We have the power of the name of Jesus. We can attack this stuff that comes. The devil, it's his job to see if you're weak. And God will not let you have more than you can stand. If you don't have the knowledge you need, he'll protect you until you do. So don't get scared. There's no reason to be scared of the devil. We have complete victory over him. And he's scared of you when you're a baby believer. And you remember that. And you take this attitude. The devil's afraid of me. Because he is. That's the truth. Amen? So, rule over him. You tell him how to be. When he tells you that gargle in your stomach is soon going to be flu, you say, no. I don't have sickness in my body. My body works in the exact perfection that it was created to function in Jesus' name. Amen? You declare what you want, not what it feels like, not what it seems that you have. Amen? And keep coming to church because you'll hear more messages like this. You'll learn more about this. Ask questions. Amen? If you need healing in your body, come down after service and we'll pray for you. Any one of the pastors. We don't care who it is. Whoever you trust more. Don't come to me because I preached. If you like Pastor Angel and you trust him more, you come to him. Now, you shouldn't. You should trust the anointing. You should trust the anointing to come to anybody. But if you trust one of us more than the other, let it be. That's where you are. That's where you are right now. And that you need that. So do that. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I'm saying you'll reach a place in your life where you trust the anointing so much, you'll get the person next to you to pray for you and you don't know them. You just say, hey, man, lay hands on me. Be in agreement with me. The scripture says, any two agree on earth as touching anything, they shall have it. Amen? Believe in healing. Be healed. Don't take off work. Don't lose money because you're sick. Don't pay for the medicine anymore. Believe that you're healed. But you keep taking that medicine until you get there. Be smart enough to know that I still need this for a while until I learn some more. Know where you're at. Amen? Be honest with yourself. I thank you for being here. Thank you for hearing me. And thank you for loving God. We love you in this place. We pray for you constantly. And we believe for you. And if there's something in particular that you need to be prayed for, please let us know. Because we will pray about it. And hook up with you. Like I said, if any two agree on earth is touching anything, they shall have it. Hallelujah. Go ahead and do it. All right, we're going to take up our offering.